Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
My great pleasure, and I don't say that lightly, my great pleasure to introduce our minister this morning. She is a dear friend of mine, Pastor Ali, and her husband Steve are the senior ministers of Urban Church here in Perth, another Harvest Net Church, an incredible ministry in its own right. Pastor Ali has a very unique gift on her life. I've watched her over two decades of friendship, giving away our age. I've watched her hone this incredible space where she is skilled both in word and in spirit. She has a master's in theology. She's working towards a doctor of ministry at the moment through Fuller Seminary in the United States. But she moves so powerfully in the things of the spirit. And I just know that if you're open this morning, God will touch you. I love her ministry. I always get incredible things personally out of what she brings. So I wonder if you would do me the privilege of just standing to your feet as we honour the woman of God, Pastor Alison Cawthorn.
Thanks. Take your seat. Wow, Chrissy, so humbled by your words. It always makes me a bit nervous when people really say amazing things, because then the expectation is right up here. But imagine if you just introduced someone by going, I think it will be all right. And so then your expectations here, so hopefully we'll exceed them. But anyway, it's such a privilege to be here. You know, I just was thinking as we're looking at the report from Pastor Gareth and Shannon. One thing about Nations Church that I love is just your authenticity. Yeah. It's so authentic, your hunger for God and the desire just to encounter Him again and again and in a deeper and deeper way. Like, there's no pretense about it. It's not a show. It's real. There's a real authenticity about that desire. And I just love it. I feel at home. So thank you, Nations, for going after that and bringing that into our city. I don't say that lightly, truly. To bring that expression into our city is important and beautiful, and we are cheering you guys on. I want to thank Pastor Chrissy and Pastor Ken. They are dear friends of ours. We've known Pastor Ken since he had hair, which is a while. And they love you guys dearly. Every time we hang out, they're just boasting about all of you and what God is doing. And, of course, Pastor Gareth and Jess as well. Thank you guys for having us this morning. Pastor Gareth also sent me a text this morning. So he is very diligent about making sure everything is. And he did ask me, he did make a request that I did not mention the Dockers. I think I just did. So, right now, let's just put up your hand. If you're a Dockers fan in here, no, I'm kidding. We're going to have a bit of a ministry moment. So I would say I feel your pain, but I'm an Eagles supporter, so I don't feel any pain at all. I couldn't help it. I'm sorry. Anyway, I've brought some of our team with us. Girls, would you like to stand up? So I have Lindsay, Venetia and Kelly with me this morning. So they are all amazing prophetic ministers in their own right. They've been praying for you guys this morning and continuing to pray right now. We're going to, you know, ask the Lord for some words of knowledge. We're going to minister into your hearts. And at the end, we're just going to really go for it and see what Holy Spirit wants to do. Are you up for that?
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, I'm going to bring the word. Oh, I didn't say any more about myself, but, you know, you just go on the Urban Church website, you'll know. I just want to get into the word. Is that okay? So I'm going to bring the word and just to kind of set the atmosphere, because I really believe that when you preach the word of God, it shifts stuff in the atmosphere. It opens us to what Holy Spirit wants to do. And so we're going to have a look at two rooms that were recorded for us, one in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament, and have a look to see what happens in both of those places. The first one is found in 2 Kings chapter 4, and we're going to read from verse 8. It says this: "One day Elisha went to Shunem, and a well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. And she said to her husband, 'I know,'" another translation says, "I perceive." Perception's a powerful thing. It's a spiritual sense. "I perceive that this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. Let's make a small room on the roof and put in it a bed and a table, a chair and a lamp for him. And then he can stay there whenever he comes to us." Jumping into the New Testament, Luke chapter 22, a different room, verse 7 says, "Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John saying, 'Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover.' 'Where do you want us to prepare it?' they asked. He replied, 'As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters and say to the owner of the house, "The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large room upstairs, all furnished, again, prepared perfectly. Make preparations there." They left and found things just as Jesus had told them, so they prepared the Passover. Two different rooms, two very different situations, obviously two different times and different people involved. But despite these differences, both of these rooms also had some similarities. And there is a connection between the two that might not be immediately obvious. Both of these rooms had been prepared for a divine purpose. Both rooms are places where God enters, either through Elisha or Jesus himself, and demonstrates his power and salvation. However, the first room would never have existed if the woman hadn't first built it. And the second room already existed, but it was just an ordinary room in a house until Jesus chooses to enter that room and demonstrate something of his kingdom. One was a new room built with intention to house the man of God, and so became the place of the greatest miracle the woman didn't know that she was going to need at the time she built it. And the second was a place that is now recorded as the room where Jesus celebrated Passover and teaches about the miracle of the new covenant. But that room continued to be a place where history unfolded. We'll get to that a little bit later. The title of my message today is, "Do you have room for a miracle?" Do you have room for a miracle? Perhaps God is calling you to build something new into your life so you can house his anointing in a new way and then be prepared to receive the miracles that you have been praying for, the ones that you need now and the ones you don't even know you're going to need. Or perhaps you just need to offer your what can feel like very ordinary life afresh to Jesus, that he might use you to demonstrate his kingdom. And as you head into your conference season, contemplating these questions as we walk through these passages today is going to prepare you for the encounter that is waiting for you. Amen? Every time I read these passages, I'm challenged. I ask myself, you know, if Elisha was passing by my city, or if Jesus was looking for a place to demonstrate his kingdom, do I have room for that miracle? Am I prepared for what is going to unfold in my church, in your conference, in this city? I don't want to be a spectator to the miraculous, and neither did those that we read about in these passages. Both the woman in the Old Testament passage and the owner of the house in Luke opened up their lives in such a way that they made sure the anointing didn't just pass them by and Jesus found a place to demonstrate his kingdom. They didn't want Elisha and Jesus just to go by them, to be spectators. They made sure they had room. They had space in their lives so they could host what God wanted to do. They were prepared to get as close to the action as possible. They had room for a miracle. So what can we learn from these rooms and apply to our lives so that we can be people who have room for a miracle? Let's begin with the first story. We read about this wealthy woman. I love the NIV says she was a well-to-do woman in this town. And just by virtue of the fact that she lived in Shunem, she had this opportunity to encounter Elisha. He needed to pass through there frequently as he made his way to Samaria, Bethel, or Jericho, because there were schools of prophets there. So he would go to those cities to teach, but to get there, he had to go through Shunem every time. Then on this particular day, this woman realizes, she perceives that there's something about this guy. There's something about this Elijah, but more specifically, the anointing that was on his life. And she thinks, I want to bring that into my home. I want to bring the anointing that is on his life into my sphere so it can influence everything around me. And so she invites Elisha into her home and feeds him. She establishes this relationship with him over regular meals. And we read that as a result of that, every time he goes through that city, he comes to her house to eat. She must have been a great cook. I'm challenged by that. But here lies the first lesson. It is this: feed what you desire to have influence in your life, because you will attract what you feed. When this woman noticed what was on Elisha's life, she decides that she wants to prepare a meal for him, to attract him into her home so she could glean from what is on his life. But there's also something more going on here, because what this woman was doing according to her culture was more than just feeding a prophet. You see, she could have just said, can you come and teach us? Can you come lay hands on us? Just, you know, impart something, pray for us. But she specifically said, come and eat with us. Come and share a meal. You see, eating together in that culture was a way that you formed covenant with each other. You made agreements. You made oaths with each other. And the Bible says she urged him to come and have a meal. That's very strong language. There is intent. There is purpose in that word, because she wanted to feed what she wanted to attract, because she wanted to make an agreement with what was on Elisha's life. She wasn't just hosting the man, she was hosting and feeding, making an agreement with the revelation and anointing that he carried. She wanted the anointing of the prophet to have influence in her life and in her household. What you feed, you attract, and you make an agreement with it. But let's go a little bit deeper here, because Elisha was a prophet. There's definitely something about that anointing that she wanted to feed. But when you actually look at the meaning of his name, it opens up a whole nother dimension to this story, and it connects us with the second room in the New Testament. The clue is, like I said, it's found in his name. His name declared a truth about his God. And that truth really opened up her life to the supernatural, and it connected her with Jesus who was to come. Elisha means, my God is salvation. My God is salvation. So when she welcomes Elisha into her home and she feeds him, she's not only attracting the prophetic anointing, she's literally feeding the revelation that God is salvation, that God is a miracle-working God, that God is the only one who can bring breakthrough and healing and life. Salvation is about life. So she is coming into agreement that this God is the God of the miracle that her son is going to need. Now, if we had time, we could read on. We discover that her son actually dies. And when he does, she calls for Elisha. She calls for the truth that God is salvation. And that truth becomes crucial when she needs life to return to her son. But because she had established this knowledge about who God is, and she had been making agreement with the greater truth that Elisha carried, when tragedy strikes, she leans on that truth and a miracle unfolds in the room she had built years before. She literally built a room for a miracle. And here's where it gets really interesting and brings the two rooms together. If you look at the word for food in Hebrew, it translates as bread. So when the woman and Elisha eat bread together, exchanging the truth that Elisha carried, that God is salvation, they were actually foreshadowing the new covenant that was to come. They were testifying to the ultimate salvation that was about to come through Jesus. And that is the same thing that happens in the second room. What meal did Jesus share with them? The Passover. And that meal foreshadowed Jesus' death and the one that we remember through communion. Why is it so important that we continue to share that meal? Many reasons, but I believe one of the reasons is because it's the first step to building room for a miracle. Feed on the revelation that God is salvation. God is a miracle working God. God brings me life. No matter what is going on, the greater truth I lean on is that God is salvation. And that God made a way for my life to be something more than what I can just simply see. That God has made a way for me to live a supernatural life. He has opened the door to a room of miracles. He's taken my life that was constrained by sin, dead to the Spirit of God, and turned it into an unfolding testament of His grace. What you feed, you attract. What you feed, you attract. What you feed, you develop a relationship with. What you feed, you strengthen. But let's not be naive about this, because it also works in the opposite way. What if you feed your insecurities? What if you meditate on or feed your negative thoughts? What if you feed gossip or slander? Well, they're going to grow stronger. And when you need a miracle, what truth are you leaning on? What you feed, you attract and make stronger. And when you feed those things, what you're doing is you're actually making an agreement with them that closes the door to a supernatural life. Do you have room for a miracle? Room for healing? Well, then feed the revelation that brings you life. God is salvation. You know, prayer meetings, those prayer meetings that the churches are making room for, they're about feeding the revelation of who God is. It is not about convincing God to move. It's about positioning our heart to see and believe and embrace what He is already doing. Amen? So let's carry on with this first story. We begin to literally see the room take shape for this woman. And there comes a point in the development of their relationship when she says, okay, this is a holy man of God. And then she does something quite extraordinary. She says, let's build a room on top of our house. Now, in ancient Israel, the roof of the house was typically flat. It was an important place, actually, for the life of the family. But she chooses to sacrifice that space in order to build a permanent structure. Sometimes there were tents, like, that, you know, obviously weren't permanent on the top of the roof. But she says, no, I want a permanent room built on top of my house so that we can house the man of God, this man who carries this revelation that God is salvation. And herein lies the second point to building a room for a miracle. The woman gives her resource. She invests into what she wants to have greater influence in her life and family. Another way of saying this is she gives her strength to what she values. Now, we know that she has financial strength just by virtue of the description given to us at the beginning of the story, but she decides to invest her resource, something of her strength, into building a room that houses the man of God so that she can host the anointing that he carries. When you invest your strength into building a place for his presence, You are building a room for miracles, some of which you don't even know you're going to need at that time. But the miracle that was coming was actually not the reason why she made this investment. She just wanted more. She just wanted more of the anointing, more of God's presence. The miracle was the bonus to come. She just wanted to host him, not because of the benefit that she would receive. You know, even when you sowed financially this morning into the offering, you could have been building room for a miracle you don't even know that you're going to need tomorrow. Amen? And resource is not just financial. It's also about investing your time, your talent, your energy into something you value and you want to see develop in your life. If you want to partner with what God is doing here, invest your strength into it. Don't just be an observer of what God is doing. Invest your resource, invest your time, attend the prayer meetings, serve. Come with a mindset of what you can bring into this place, not what you can get out of it. You just might be building a place for a miracle. People who invest their time and resource into building something in that way, they are people who are releasing the testimony of who their God is. And then he adds his amen and miracles occur. Nothing grows without investment. You know, if we talk corporately for a minute, the prophetic intention over Nations Church is not a given. It is the intention of the Lord. Any prophetic word that you receive, even individually, it's the intention of God. But it doesn't mean that you just sit back and watch it happen. We have to partner with it. It requires something of us. We have to build the space, the room where miracles, salvation, and the kingdom can manifest. Every time you make the investment of your time just by being here on a weekend service, every time you invest financially into the vision, every time you serve through offering your talent, your strength, you're helping build room for a miracle, the greatest of which is the miracle of salvation. You know, personally, when you invest into your own development spiritually, you're building room for a miracle. When you pray, when you meditate, when you read your word, or, you know, perhaps even invest something a little more into a school of ministry or a Bible college or spending time with a mentor, you're giving what you can of yourself and your strength into building something significant for God. And when you're deliberate about what you're building, you're deliberate about purpose. And we see that in both rooms. And this is the next point. Build for habitation, not visitation. This woman, she wants to make sure that Elisha doesn't just visit when he passes through, but actually stays there. And if you want to be a person who doesn't just watch the anointing pass by, but you desire to have it as part of your life, you need to build for habitation and not just visitation. In 2 Kings, we read that the room is furnished. It has a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. And the passage in Luke also tells us that the room was furnished. What does it mean? It means that they were just prepared for their purpose. And while we don't have a detailed description of the second room, we do know that it was perfectly suited for the purpose that Jesus had in mind and what he was about to teach about the new covenant that was coming. I love that, you know, in 2 Kings we see very familiar things, a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. I'm so glad it didn't say she built a room and then she furnished it with 3 ounces of myrrh and a menorah and the essence of a dinosaur. And you'd think, well, I can't possibly do that. How am I going to build a space for the supernatural? No, they were all things that we can relate to. But whilst they were familiar things, they actually reflected something far more important. They had spiritual purpose. You know, it's often those things that seem ordinary to us in our spirituality that are so needed to make sure that the anointing remains upon us. Prayer, meditation, contemplation, fellowship, worship, reading our word. Very familiar, but they must be present. We need to furnish our lives with those things so we have room for a miracle. If we had time, we could unpack each of those things and look at what it reflects spiritually, but maybe another time. We don't have time for that today. But we're going to go back to the second room. Jesus gives his disciples instructions on who to approach about finding the room in which they're going to have the Passover meal. He says, go into the city and you will see a man carrying a water jug. Follow him and you will find the room. Now, you can miss this last point if you don't understand something of the context here. You see, it was actually very unusual for a man to be carrying a water jug. It was the job of a woman or a servant. However, in this case, it was the man. And I felt like God said, never write off the unusual, because it could be leading you to a place where a miracle unfolds. Amen? And this is, again, I said, here is where it gets interesting. I've said that so many times, but now it gets really interesting. Tradition tells us that that room was actually in the house of John, whose surname was Mark. And if that's the case, then this is not just the room where this first miracle occurs, the Passover teaching, but it's also the house where the disciples were gathered on the evening of Jesus' resurrection. And it was also the place where they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it was also the place where they were assembled on the day of Pentecost. And it was also the house where Peter went to find them after he was miraculously delivered from prison. It was one of the earliest places of Christian worship. And on that ground, there was a church built called the Church of Sion, the oldest church in Jerusalem, and was called by St. Cyril the Upper Church of the Apostles. So the final point is, when you have room for a miracle, your house just might be the place where history is made. Do you want to be part of making history in this house? The door of John Mark's house remains open, and we see this cumulative effect, greater and greater impact for the kingdom that builds a legacy for generations to follow. The Shunammite's miracle literally ensured that her son, the next generation, received life back into his body. You know, further on in her story, we see that she calls for Elisha and he knows immediately where to go, into that room where she has built and the greatest miracle she ever saw unfolds. I love that John Mark's servant, carrying a water jug, led the disciples to a room where the course of Christian history was set time and time again, and miracles unfolded that they could only dream of. Both were diligent in simply having a room that could host the anointing on a man of God or the Lord himself as he revealed the new covenant. They had a yes in their heart to God himself, and that yes led to simple rooms being rooms where miracle unfolded. Can I have the worship team join me on stage? You know, right now, as we've released the word and we've got a few more minutes to just lean in to what Holy Spirit wants to do, you're already seeing miracles starting to unfold. We heard the testimony of them through the video this morning. And I believe that God laid this word on my heart. You know, it's no coincidence. He's really wanting you to pursue the miraculous. He's really exhorting you to be people who can host the anointing. Know what it is to host his presence. Amen. I feel like God gave me a word which we'll get to in a minute. But before we do that, I just wanted to give a quick moment for anybody who has actually never come into a relationship with Jesus. And you have found yourself here this morning. And I want to suggest to you that that is no coincidence. That your footsteps have been ordered of the Lord. And he is calling you into that place of life this morning. God is salvation means God offers you life. And that life actually is what we refer to as eternal life. You may think that eternal life is about what happens when you die. Do you go to heaven or do you go to hell? But actually, eternal life just means the with God kind of life. And it's available to you right now. Imagine what it would be like to live the next hour, day, month, year, decade, decades with God. It opens up a whole another dimension to living. It opens up a whole another perspective on you and your life. It opens the door to a supernatural life, to seeing things that you can only dream about. That's that's the invitation of living a life with Jesus. And so just with every eye closed right now in this place, I want to offer you an invitation. It's a very simple invitation, but it is one that will literally change the course of your life. And it is just this. Would you like to receive Jesus into your heart and experience his salvation, his life? If that's you this morning and you know who you are because you can feel it, your heart is beating and you're thinking, is that me? Is that me? If you're asking that question, then I would like to suggest that yes, that is you. That is God very gently and simply inviting you to come into a relationship with him. And so just so we know where you are, did you slip up your hand right now and say, yes, I want to invite Jesus into my life. I want to know what it's like to live an eternal life now. Anybody here this morning, raise your hand up just right where you're sitting and we're just going to pray. Anybody here today saying, yes, I want to accept that invitation. There's a hand down the back there. God bless you. Anybody else? Anyone else saying yes to this invitation? Okay, just put your hand on your heart, everyone in here this morning, and just pray this prayer after me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I believe you to be the Son of God and my Savior, and I invite you into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and from this moment forward, I choose to live my life with you. I choose to receive your salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Best decision. Beautiful. Beautiful. So I'll get my team up and I've just asked them if they have any specific words of knowledge or prophetic words to release them. So just open your heart. God is so here. He wants to encounter you more than you want to encounter him, I guarantee it. Kel.
Couple of words of knowledge. One is that knees are getting healed today. So if you have an issue with your knee, and I got the words, the meniscus and cartilage. So even now, you're not even going to have to wait for me to pray for you. God is healing your knees right now. He's supernaturally healing what I saw was tears in meniscus. He's healing it right now in Jesus' name. Because Holy Spirit is your healer and he knows who you are, where you are, and he's doing it right now. Receive it in Jesus' name. The second thing I saw is there are people here. I felt like it was more than one person. And what I saw was a car heading along the highway along the coast. And there's this epic distraction going on. I actually feel like you're being a bit harassed by the enemy. And he keeps wanting to bring up your past. He keeps wanting to say, yeah, but, And he's having you distracted by the rearview mirror. And so you're not able to see where you're going. You're not able to feel hope about your future. That's getting broken off. The Spirit of God is here to bring breakthrough to those who are being distracted by their past, where shame is trying to grip your heart. That is breaking off today. So if you need prayer for that, I'd love to pray for you. This lovely woman here with a similar color top on. I saw a picture of you. Are you studying or have you studied? Studied. Well, what I saw was the study that you've done, it feels like there's been a door closed to you and you're waiting for breakthrough. You've been wanting more than where you currently are. Does that resonate with you? But what I saw was you stepped into an elevator, and when the doors close, you have to wait a while to get to the floor that you're going to. So the Lord said to encourage you, you're actually being elevated. You're on your way and the doors will open. The doors will open, and that there is actually favor on your life. There's acceleration coming with it because the Lord's doing the elevating, and what you've studied for is purposeful, and the Lord wants you to know what you bring of the kingdom, where you are and what you do is powerful, and you bring change. And you might be quiet in your heart, but when you say things, people will listen. You are significant. You are a very significant. There's another couple over here, but I'll get them later. But it was Jack, are you two together? Can I pray for you later?
WA wild caught seafood open 7 days. And as I prayed into that with God, I felt like what he was saying is that this church is a place of fresh fish, not dead fish. And fish speaks to people, but it also speaks to provision. And also got the word melting pot, that you guys are this melting pot of, you know, diverse ethnic groups and ages and demographics. And, you know, it's such a beautiful snapshot of heaven. And I really feel like what he was saying is that you're this fish market in the best possible way. Of, I was reminded of the Japanese fish markets, where it's this awesome place where people want to go and there's a lot of excitement and buzz, and it's known for its quality and it's known for its diversity.
And I could really sense in that the heart of evangelism within the church. But what I felt like God was inviting you into was a deep sea dive, and that it's as you go even deeper in the things of the Spirit, that the deeper things of the depth of the wild and the fish and everything that goes along with that. And I looked up deep diving, and I just love this definition. It says deep diving is underwater diving to a depth beyond the norm accepted by the community. And so I just feel like that is like what Holy Spirit has in store for you, even as you prepare to prophesy. There is a depth in the Spirit that He wants to take you beyond what you thought is the norm.
So good. So I feel like that we're going to do two things. If any of those words resonated with you and you'd like the girls to pray for you, then please make sure that you respond to that invitation of the Lord. Is there a Cheryl that is somehow related to Peter? Cheryl and Peter are all here today? No? Everyone's going, you make my name Cheryl. That's okay. That's all right. Those two names just came to me as I was driving here this morning, and I thought, you know what? I'm just going to release it, because growth is in the stretch, right? So, but one thing I know that God wants to do this morning, in that kind of in-between sleeping awake phase, I had a dream. It was very vivid, and the Lord spoke to me through it and said, this is a word for the church this morning. I was walking along in the dream, and I had my two daughters with me. And both of them had outgrown their clothes, and they had these clothes on that didn't fit them anymore. And they said, you know, Mum, we need some new clothes. And I said, okay, we'll go to the shop and we'll get you new clothes. And then I woke up, and as I was driving here this morning, both times I've come to minister at Belmont, the Lord speaks to me in the car as I'm driving. And it's really inconvenient, because then I have to try and write it down with my phone in the thing. Okay, I'm not holding it. Is there any police officers in here today? Anyway, I said, Lord, what is that about? Because I know that that is a word for the church. And He said, I want to distribute upgrades this morning. Upgrades to new levels. The clothing speaks of mantles. It speaks of assignments. It speaks of what you are doing. And some of you feel like you have outgrown, you're ready for the next thing. And the Lord says, I just want you to lay hands on people and release an upgrade. I said, upgrades to what? He said, in every area. So promotions at work, new levels at work, but also in the Spirit. Upgrade to your seeing, upgrade to your teaching, upgrade to your prophesying, upgrade to your courage. If you're struggling with anxiety, God wants to upgrade your courage this morning. Upgrade your wisdom. And all of that upgrading is about making room, right? Making room. So come on, let's stand to your feet this morning. And if you want to receive the upgrade that God wants to release this morning, I'm telling you, I feel it, that this is what Holy Spirit wants to do. He wants to release the upgrade to you in the Spirit, perhaps at work, perhaps in your family, whatever it is. You feel like, I'm ready. I'm ready for the new level. I'm ready for the new thing. If that's you, would love to just lay hands on you, but you need to actually respond. You know, when we say come forward, it's not for our benefit. It's actually a physical response. We are body, soul, and spirit. So that is a physical yes to the word of the Lord. It's saying, yes, I'm going to step into this. And then the Holy Spirit just adds His amen. So if any of the words that the girls spoke resonate with you and you would like to receive prayer from them, or if you're saying, yeah, I just want to receive an upgrade right now, I want you to get out of your chair and come forward right now. Right now, respond to the Lord. Say, yes, I just want that. I just want that upgrade. I just want to see God move in a new way. I want to see more. I want to prophesy more. I want a promotion at work. I want an upgrade in my family, whatever the case may be. Upgrade of courage. Who's saying, yes, I don't want to struggle with this anxiety anymore. I want an upgrade of courage in my life. If that is you, then you need to say yes. Come forward right now, and God is going to add His amen. Come on.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.